Amen. We've been to church tonight. Amen. Amen. If I say this often, I realize, but I mean it. It's not a habit. It's fresh every time I say it. If we had to go home right now, we would go home full and able to say that we have met with the Lord tonight. Amen. I am thankful for His presence. I'm thankful for the promise of His presence that He has given us. And so it is an honor to be here tonight. The book of Luke, in the Word of God tonight, the book of Luke, in your Bible. Turn there if you will. Now while you're turning there, let me, and missing Sunday, it kind of throws us out of sorts about our schedule with church and everything, but so I've not got to announce this yet, but this coming Sunday we will have life groups at 5 o'clock, just as usual. So this coming Sunday, life group at 5 o'clock. And then at 6 o'clock, we're going to come over here and have a Christmas service. Be a candlelight Christmas service. I think the teenagers have a skit that they're going to, a Christmas-themed skit that they're going to do. We're going to sing some of the traditional Christmas songs as found in the church hymnal. And then we're going to do the Lord's Supper as well, because I can't help but to think that the shadow of an old rugged cross fell across an old rugged manger, because Jesus said that's why He come. And so I can't think of anything better for us to do in a Christmas service as we celebrate His birth than to be reminded of His death for me and for you. So Sunday night is going to be a wonderful service. So bring your family, bring your friends, let them know, call them, and in fact, just bring all your family together, and let this be your Christmas service that you are together at church on Sunday night. So Sunday night, 5 o'clock, life group, 6 o'clock will be that Christmas service this coming Sunday. Amen. All right, so if you will, look in the Bible in the book of Luke. I said last week I was going to do this, and I felt very led to come back to this spot and indeed do it. The Lord had laid it on our heart. There's so much we could talk about in the Christmas story as it's written in the Bible. Not the Christmas story as we hear it on TV or as the news have made it or as commercialism has made it. But the Christmas story is found in the Word of God. There's just so many facts and so much truth there. But here's the thing, more than just a bunch of facts, more than just a bunch of statements and events, there is so much truth to be found in the stories that surrounds the birth of our Lord. And it is indeed about the gospel. And quite literally, the gospel means good news. And it is good news. And all my life, since the Lord saved me when I was 25 or 26 years old, I am just so thankful for all the preaching I heard through all the years that was good. I realized today that it was good news. I'm thankful that that God sent His Son to die for sinful man. And then He rose again on that third day. And so in this Christmas story, there is good news. And there are three announcements that are made concerning the birth of our Lord. In other words, heaven sent forth messengers to let certain people know. We're going to read about those people tonight, that Jesus was about to be born. Three announcements. And you're going to find that those three announcements, they're very relevant to us today. It was good news to the recipients of that day, and it's good news to us tonight as recipients living in 2018. That's the wonderful thing about the living Word of God is it transcends time. It transcends time. It's as valid today and as good for us today as it was for Elizabeth and Zacharias in the temple when they got a word from the Lord. And so we're going to look at that today, tonight. But look, if you will, in Luke chapter 1. And I want us I'm going to read just a little bit right here beginning in verse 5. We're going to read some different selected passages of Scripture. So Luke chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says this: "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no children because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. They were well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Fear not." Let me just say, when God sends a message to you that says, "Fear not," you can fear not. Zacharias, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. For thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." So let me talk just a minute about this first announcement. This is the first announcement we find about the birth of Jesus. Not the first prophecy, because there have been many prophecies predicting and prophesying of the birth of our Lord, which that in and of itself is just miraculous, that thousands of years, 1,500 years before Jesus was born, God was sending a word that one day I'm going to send my son. 4,000 years before the birth of our Lord, there in the garden, God sent the first evangelistic message that he was going to send his son. And so this is the first announcement, though, that we find in the New Testament surrounding the birth of our Lord. Now, let me say something about some things about Zacharias and Elizabeth. I want you to notice that the Bible says they're well stricken in years. And there's a couple of things that you need to know about Zacharias and Elizabeth. Now, follow with me. Even though they're well stricken in years, they're aged, elderly. Even though they were well stricken in years, they both had experienced the new birth. They were walking by faith. They were servants of the Lord, however you want to look at that. They were walking with the Lord. So that's number one. So this is some things they had going for them, even though they were old in age. So they were walking with the Lord, and they lived by faith. Number two, they both, even though they were well stricken in years, and they both were walking by faith, they were also both walking in the will of God, doing what God had called them to do. I want to say something. There is a powerful statement. I'm not preaching this tonight, but there's something very powerful can happen in your life when you live your life just doing what God has called you to do. It's, for Zacharias, it was this simple act. Many priests ministering in the temple, all kinds of activities taking place, all kinds of positions to be occupied and filled, and there's Bible for all of that. But Zacharias, for his course of priesthood, his was just to burn incense in the temple. Let's just make that modern day. His assigned task was just to burn a candle and keep that candle burning. When it was his time to be there, and it was his allotted assignment day, then he just burned a candle in the house of the Lord. Now let me tell you something, that may not seem a lot, that may not seem like a lot, it may not seem like something big and significant in the eyes of man, but I want you to know that God looks upon faithfulness, and he rewards faithfulness in his children. No matter how big or how small it is, when we are faithful to him in even the smallest of things, then God blesses us with big things. God sees you on a Wednesday night. Hey, listen, let's be real here. Church is just not popular on Wednesday nights anymore. People just don't come. I don't think there's any particular reason other than people are just not faithful in the course that God has given them to walk and to be in. But you're here. And God sees your faithfulness. He knows where you are at today, what you've been through, what you've struggled with, what you've endured, and yet you got up tonight and made your way to the house of the Lord because you have a love for him, and you knew that's just the right thing to do, so you did it. And I want you to know God sees that in his children, and he rewards and he blesses for doing that. So they were walking in the will of God. Well, stricken in years, but they were walking by faith, living in faith. They were walking in the will of God. And not only that, But when we see them, each of them, even though they were well stricken in years, they both were enjoying good health. Now, they're something to be thankful for when we think about having good health. If you've ever not been in good health, then you are very thankful when you have good health. I think we take that for granted. I really do. I remember I went to the hospital over in Asheville one time to visit someone in a new part of the hospital, and I got turned around and lost, and the floor I got out on was the Billy Graham wing of the children's hospital, which was the cancer wing of children with cancer. And I walked right in there to that nurse's station, but there I saw those small children in 2 or 3 years old in little red wagons with IVs running in their neck and their head and just different places, nurses pulling them around, nurses carrying them around, nurses riding them around on little bicycles and things like that. And boy, I tell you, an humbling experience. And my heart immediately went out to those moms and those dads and those children and how our heart prayed for them and lifted them up to the Lord. But the fact you're here tonight in good health, that you could make it tonight, that's something to be thankful for. So Zacharias, they had some good things going on. They were walking in faith. They were walking in the will of God, and they were in relatively good health, even though she was barren and really beyond childbearing years. However, there was one thing that they had in their life that was troublesome. They had an unanswered prayer. An unanswered prayer. And the angel come and the angel comes on and tells them of what is about to happen, that Elizabeth is about to be touched and they're about to have a child. His name will be John. There's also an announcement about the coming of the Savior, about the birth of Jesus. We didn't read that scripture, but it's there in those following verses. But I guess maybe my point on this first word of good news in the announcement of Jesus' birth is we see it as a matter of petition. That they had an unanswered petition in their life, and God sent a messenger to them because he saw their faithfulness. Now imagine if God had sent an angel to Zacharias to find Zacharias in the temple, and he showed up at the temple and Zacharias wasn't there because he chose to stay home that day. Could that have happened? I don't know. But I just know Zacharias was faithful, and he was where he was supposed to be when he was supposed to be there, and God said, I've heard your prayers. I'm going to answer them, and here's the good news for you. I'll answer your prayers, but not only that, I'm sending my son to be born as well. So Zacharias and Elizabeth, they had this great burden, and that great burden was they had a petition or a prayer, if you might say, a thing they had asked of God over and over and over, and that was, Lord, give us children. It had not been answered, but God who is faithful, say amen, but God who is faithful said, I'm going to give you a child. So I just wondered if there was somebody maybe here on this Wednesday night who's come to the church and you have prayed and you have prayed and you have prayed about this one thing that so burdens you. Everything else in life is good. You've got good, you've been saved, you're following the Lord, you're doing the best you know how to do in walking in the will of God, and you're in relatively good health. No complaints there. But there is this one thing in your life, and it is the fact that you have this petition. You have this great prayer need, this great prayer burden that you just cannot find peace in. God has not answered that yet. Well, let me tell you something. I don't believe the Lord would have brought us here on this Wednesday night and take us to an old, old couple in the Word of God, Zacharias and Elizabeth, and showed us the petition that they had. And the prayers he answered for them to not want to answer your prayers and let you know the answer's coming. I believe there are prayers we pray that God wants us to labor in prayer. I believe those prayers we pray that we'll pray maybe years and years and years before God ever answers them. But I also do believe this. I believe God answers prayers. I believe he does. I believe we may or may not see the response to those, but I also know this. I believe God from time to time wants us to see prayers answered, to show us that his word is true and that if we follow him and hold to his promises, that he'll answer the things we bring to him according to his will and in his time and the other teachings of prayer. But God answers prayer. So maybe it could be tonight that everything's good with you, but just tonight, for this night, God brought you here so you could hear. I've heard your prayer, and the answer's coming to that petition in your life. Watch this. Zacharias. That name Zacharias, it means God remembers. God remembers. Elizabeth. In the Bible here, this old Elizabethan English, it's spelled with an S. That's who we named our Elizabeth after. Her name's not spelled with a Z. It's spelled with an S after Elizabeth here in the Word of God. Elizabeth, it means an oath or a covenant or a promise. So there's Zacharias, who means God remembers. There's Elizabeth, who means an oath or a promise or my oath or my promise. And they have this son because God answered a prayer in their life, and that son's name was John. And John means the grace of Jehovah. Now watch this, if you don't mind. When Zacharias and Elizabeth have John, what has taken place here in the Word of God and here before us tonight as we think about this? Zacharias, God remembers, joins together with Elizabeth, his oath or his covenant. When God remembers his oath and his covenant, the product is the grace of God. So you've got an unanswered prayer. Listen to me. God has remembered his covenant with you, and you're going to be a recipient of the grace of God. Wouldn't that be a good thing tonight if you got a super helping of God's grace here in this service tonight? So there's that first announcement and that first good news, and that good news, it revolves around the announcement concerning a petition. Well, then look with me in Luke 1:26. Luke 1:26. And Luke 1:26, this is an announcement to Mary. Let me read Luke 1:26. The Bible says this. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee, named Nazareth. Now look where they're at. In the sixth month, the angel of Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. To a virgin, a spouse, to a man. Now some Bibles will say a young maiden. She was a young maiden, but not just a young maiden. She was a virgin. To a virgin, a spouse, to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. That's the second time the Lord said that to her. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. The Bible says, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Well, I tell you, there's so much there I would like to preach, but I'm going to stick with the text tonight where the Lord has led us. But there's so many great truths right there with what the Lord has given us. Let me say just a little bit about Mary in general to give you some facts about Christmas. So I want to ask you this very truth right here. So where did the miracle take place at in the Christmas story? It wasn't in Bethlehem. Miracle was in Nazareth. See, the birth was not miraculous. The conception was miraculous. I know we all know that, but we fail to think that sometimes. We think that that the whole birth was a miraculous thing and that it all happened in Bethlehem, but it didn't. The announcement was made in Nazareth. the Spirit of God overshadowing her, the conception, which was very miraculous. The Spirit of God overshadowing her and her conceiving. That happened in Nazareth. The birth of our Lord happened in Bethlehem. Are you with me? I'm just giving you some facts. So that's one fact just to think on. But also the Bible says this. The Bible said, blessed art thou among women, not above women. That's just a little refute to Catholicism. You know, Catholicism, they elevate Mary. In fact, not so many years ago, the Pope actually made a declaration and actually declared Mary to be a co-redemptrix in salvation. In other words, she is as important in our salvation as Jesus is. But that's just not Bible, my friends. No doubt Mary was a very special young lady, a very special burden for God to have chose her. She too was faithful unto the small things God had given her to be faithful unto, and God rewarded her. Yes, I understand that. But Jesus and Jesus alone is our salvation. Not Jesus and something, not Jesus and somebody. And so the Bible says here, blessed art thou among women, not blessed art thou above women. And so that's a little truth we find in the Word of God. But also, now in verse 46 and verse 47, look what Mary says. And Mary said, this is Mary's song, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. God my Savior. I want you to understand something. Mary had the need of salvation as well. She had that need as well. And so she was not a co-redemptrix in salvation. She needed salvation. And she says here in her song, my heart rejoices because of God my Savior. And so she needed salvation. And if she needed salvation, you and I need salvation as well. The world needs salvation. And so that first good news announcement revolved around a petition that had not been answered. I wonder if you're here and you've got a prayer that's not been answered. That second announcement, well, it just really had to do with pardon. That we all need a Savior to save us from our sins. I'm thankful that one time, January 13, 1997, I humbled myself before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords because I realized I needed salvation. I realized I was lost and I could not save myself. I realized that the gospel was indeed good news, that He was willing to save me and He could save me and He wanted to save me, and I had to humble myself and say yes. And when I said yes to Him, He saved me from all of my sins. I mentioned the other service we had, last service we had, that He's not only saved me from all of my sins past, but the day He saved me, He knew what I would do after that day. He knew how I would mess up, how I would fail, how I would fall, how I would sin against Him. Even when I'm doing the best I can and I don't want to, I still mess up. He knew all of that the day He saved me. So the day He saved me, He gave me pardon not only for all of my sins past, but for all of my sins present and all of my sins future. The blood of Jesus takes care of it all. He come to save us from our sins. So, it's a matter of pardon. The blood saves us from all of our sins, but not only that, but the blood has power to free us from all of our sins. There are sins that are habitual. A besetting sin is what the Bible would say. Sins that are sin struggles. And I'm not going to go into this too much. Time don't allow it, but you don't have to sit there and act all church like on Wednesday night, because I know that you're flesh and blood just like me. And everybody's got their own sin struggle. Somebody may gamble, and somebody else may say, I don't understand how they can go gamble and spend all their money and blow their savings and lose their family and all that, all over gamble. Well, that's not your sin struggle. But you got a sin struggle. I'm not asking you to confess it tonight, but I just know it's there. Preacher, how do you know that? Somebody tell you about me? No, I just know the Word of God and human nature, what the Bible says about men and women, and that we have sin struggles. But the good news is The good news is that the blood of Jesus, the pardon of Jesus, it is powerful enough not only to deal with all of our sins and forgive us of all of the penalty of all of our sin, but it's powerful enough to free us from the power of sin in this life. My, there is enough power in the blood of Jesus to set free every alcoholic in Franklin County, to set free every drug addict in Franklin County. Listen to me, I am all for programs and rehabs and all of that. I'd never knock some of those. Some of them are hurt worse than they help, but there's some that are heaven sent and are God blessed. But I tell you this, I believe that it's the pardon that's found in the power of Jesus' blood that sets sinners like me and like you free. I believe the blood of Jesus could save every harlot, every drunkard, every drug addict, every wife beater, every child that's rebellious, every prodigal, the blood of Jesus could free from the power of sin that sin has over us. That's the pardon that we find in this announcement. And I am glad that one day, I'm going to say this in a few weeks as I preach out of 1 Thessalonians probably, so you'll hear it again. And when you nod like you hear it the second time, I'll pass the offering plate. It'll cost you to hear it twice. But I'm glad we're here tonight. Because there's one thing I know about coming to church. I know when I get over here, I'm not going to hear a bunch of filthy mouth cussing like I'd hear in a restaurant somewhere or here on the job site. I know I'm not going to hear no dirty jokes. I know there's not going to be any fighting. There's not going to be any bitterness. There's not going to be any bickering back and forth, and they shouldn't be any envy. They shouldn't be anybody fighting for a microphone or fighting to have preeminence. That's why I like coming over here. This is just not like being out living in the world or being out in the world, not a part of the world, but we live our lives out there in the world. It's not like that. It's a refuge and it's a sanctuary to come. And so I look forward to coming because we're not going to have any of those things like we'll find out in Carnesville or Franklin County. And it's just a small reminder for me that one day He's going to deliver us from the presence of sin altogether. That we'll never hear another dirty word, never hear another cuss word. There'll never be an ugly joke told. There will be no bitter, no anger, no wrath, no envy, no jealousy, no spite, no greed, no lust, no sin, no addictions. There'll be none of that. But the blood of Jesus, the good news that Jesus came, was born, died, rose again, is that ultimately one day He'll deliver us once and for all and for good from the presence of sin itself. We can't imagine that, but it's coming one day. See, our mind is so... Can I preach this for a second? Let me say this one thing. I wasn't asking for a yes, by the way. I'm just telling you. Our mind is so polluted by this world that we as believers, we have allowed so much in our eyes and our ears that we don't even catch anymore things that are vile to God. It's true. We've kind of just started allowing everything and anything on TV in our living room, and so when they're on TV and they're using the Lord's name in vain and every other word they can use on public TV today, we just let it keep playing while our little kids run around, and we don't even blink and think about it. I'll never forget one time there was a Western, I think I might have preached this, but you'll get it again tonight. There was an old Western come out one time, a new series had come on TV. Man, I was excited about it. I thought it was going to be good. And I was wound up and cranked up. The night it come on, I turned it on and watched it, or the first time I watched the episode of it. And right off the get-go, I mean, it was just the Lord's name, just every other sentence. And I thought, nah, can't do that. Oh, well, there went that Western. Turned the TV off. And the next day, I'll never remember looking on Facebook, one of my deacons at the time. Well, he had watched it and got hooked on the series, and he was just raving on Facebook about what a wonderful Western it was. And I'm thinking, did you not hear the same thing I heard? Because if you heard the same thing I heard, you would not be so pleased. And you certainly would not be advertising it on Facebook. Are you with me? You got this look on your face like you've been on Facebook today posting stuff. And I hope you don't have that Facebook disease. See, the church has got this Facebook disease where we think nobody else reads that stuff, and we put all kinds of stuff on there that shouldn't be advertised for church people. But we put it on there and forget that, don't we? Okay, you're not admitting all that. Let's just move on. So anyway, so there's three announcements. I'll close with this. There is this announcement to Zacharias and Elizabeth, and it really concerns the good news about their petition, that their prayers are about to be answered. There's the news to Mary about that she is going to be that she's going to conceive with a child of the Holy Spirit, and the emphasis there is on the name Jesus, and it's just repeated over and over. Excuse me. And so the emphasis there, the good news is pardon, that the Lord can forgive us. So many times in my ministry, I deal with people who can't forgive themselves, something they've done. Well, let me tell you something. You may not be able to forgive yourself, but God will forgive you. He'll forgive you. Well, then there's this last announcement to Joseph in Matthew 1. Flip back over to Matthew chapter 1 really quick, and I'm closing. Matthew 1. This is to Joseph, and it's about, really, it's about the purity of Mary. Purity of Mary. Elizabeth, you or Abigail or both of you, you can come and you don't even have to sing. You can sing if you want to. Just play something. Matthew 1, verse 18. Matthew 1, verse 18. And here's what the Bible says. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. The New Testament opens and it closes with the name of Jesus. In fact, over 800 times in the New Testament alone, we find the name Jesus. Sometimes, just walking around day to day, doing the things I do, ministering, whatever it may be, mowing the yard, fishing, hunting, whatever it might be. Sometimes at nighttime when I roll over to go to sleep. Sometimes I really don't have anything to say, but I just simply whisper the name of Jesus over and over and over. My papa, when he was well into his 80s, probably late 80s, he come and preached for me one time, and he stood up and he announced the title of his message. And the title of his message was this: Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The most wonderful title I've ever heard on a sermon. A great sermon, because it was all about Jesus. That's the way our lives ought to be from beginning to end, just as the New Testament. It opens with Jesus, it closes with Jesus. Our life ought to be all about Jesus. Every aspect of our life, it ought to be about the Lord. The announcement then was that he shall save his people from their sins. And the significant thing about this is Matthew takes us back to the words of Isaiah the prophet. Some, I don't, without studying, probably some 800 to 1,000 years before the birth of our Lord, God spoke to Isaiah and said, there's going to be a Savior come, and he's going to be born of a virgin. And sure enough, it happens just like God had said. It had even been prophesied. So many prophecies are fulfilled just in the birth of our Lord, maybe a dozen or more. But he was born even in the place. Another prophet, hundreds of years, said he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And that's what moved. The king that day to have that census was to get. To fulfill prophecy, to move Mary and Joseph from Nazareth to Bethlehem so it could happen just like God said. I want you to understand something tonight as we close with a simple thought. When God says something, it's a done deal. You understand that? When God told me that he would save me, because when I was under conviction, when I was living as... And I was living as a lost man. Let me tell you something. You ought not to get, I get around these believers all the time, and they get all out of whack about liberals and the homosexual movement and you know, abortion and all. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm against all that stuff. I am, but I know some Christians who get fighting mad over things, over drunkards, over drug addicts. I mean, they just get, that's what lost people do. Don't you understand that? They just need to be saved. They ever get saved, they'll turn from their ways. I remember I was everything a lost person ought to be, and I come under conviction, and I run from it for a long time because I just didn't think God would save me, nor would He want to save me. But God reminded me that He loved me, and that yes, that's why He was convicting me, because He wanted to save me. And so I yielded my life to the Lord, and I found out that just as God said He would do, He saved me. I also found out after He saved me and I began living my Christian life, He promised that He would never leave me nor forsake me. And I find that amazing, because there's been times when I've left Him. There's been times when I've forsaken Him. But I found out that His promise was true, because just like He said, He would never leave me nor forsake me. And I can tell you to this day that He never has. I'm glad, as His Word says, that He'll supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. I have found through my life, in the Christian life, times have not always been easy. There have been times of great need in my life. Sometimes the greatest needs have not been physical needs or material needs, but they've been the deep needs of my soul and in my heart and in my mind. But I found that just as God said that He'll meet all of my needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus, that God has done exactly that. I'd like to be able to tell you that since God saved me, that I've been a powerhouse for Jesus, that I've stood strong, that I've never buckled, that I've never wavered. But I want you to understand, I've been through some trials, and I've been through valleys. I've been through dark days and tough times when I've got weak, when I could not stand alone, where I needed Him. And I found out that promise is true, where He said, when I am weak, then He is strong. Just like God said, in my weakest times, He strengthened me and lifted me up. I'm glad that in times whenever I felt like I was falling, when I felt like that there was no hope, when I felt like I was being overcome, when I felt like that I was at the bottom, I found out that at the bottom's solid, there's a rock. I'm glad He never fails me, because He is my rock. Man, I'm telling you, just like God has said, it'll be true. He's never failed a promise. Some 6,000 promises in the Word of God, and He's never failed one single problem. I'm glad that I found out that He told me that I could cast my cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares for me. I found that out in the Word of God, that God made me that promise. And so all through the years and through the days and through the weeks and the months and sometimes by the hour, I've got these great cares that come upon my heart. And I'm able just to turn to Him and take those cares and roll them off on Jesus, because He said, I'll take your cares. Because just like He said, He's good for it, my friend. Now, I want you to understand something. I promise you something. I'm going to make a promise, and I'm going to give you my word, and I'll stand by my word. But even at my best, something may happen where I can't keep that promise. Even though I want to, something may happen at my best where I can't keep it. But I want you to know that when God makes a promise, God always keeps His word. He's always at His best when He's up to something. I found out when I have to carry burdens that He's our burden bearer. Man, let me tell you something. If it wasn't for a burden bearer, a mortal man could not pastor a Baptist church. Somebody say amen. Man, I mean, the road of ministry, it gets hard sometimes. I'm not asking for sympathy, because I don't need it tonight. I've got a God who is my sympathetic high priest. But I'm just telling you, the road of ministry sometimes becomes heavy. It becomes hard, and sometimes you don't see the way. Sometimes you wonder why you're doing what you're doing. Why don't you just quit? Why don't you give up? But He said in His word, He left me a promise. He said, I'll be your burden bearer if you'll just bring your burdens to me. I found out as I bring my burdens to Him that it can happen just like He said. He'll carry my burdens if I bring them to Him.
Man, when God says something, listen, I want you to understand the good news is this. The good news is if you got a petition tonight, hey, He's good for those prayers, those petitions. And more importantly than that, I believe somebody's pregnant here tonight. I believe somebody's pregnant with a prayer, answered prayer that God's put in you, and you're about to get it. Now, I believe that according to what God's give us tonight. But it's good news that when God says, I've heard your prayers, the answer's coming. Don't lose heart. There's a matter of petition. The good news concerning our pardon, that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all of our sins. It's powerful tonight. If you've ever failed Him in any way, I got good news. All you got to do is come. And just like He said, if you confess it to Him, He'll forgive you. Cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Lay that sin at this altar. And then this last part right here really concerns His promises. Man, I'm telling you, God has made you promises. And what you need to do, and it's a shame you hadn't already, but I'm glad God brought you here. All these things I've talked about, they're not just for preachers. Why, this lot of preachers that... This ragtag bunch of preachers that you know, we're really just a bunch of messed up people. But we know some things about the promises of God. So let me tell you something. He's got promises for you. For you, not just for me, but for you. My heart hurts as you've not even discovered that yet, but you're here tonight. And I'm glad you are, because God brought you here to let you know I've got promises for you. I've got promises for you. I'll never leave you, forsake you. I'll provide all your needs according to my riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. When you're weak, you can be weak, because I'll be strong for you. I'll lift you up. I'll carry you. I'm the solid rock, the one who's unmovable, unshakable, the one that's eternal. Before there was a Garden of Eden, He was. He still is today, and when eternity is, when we've passed eternity, still living in eternity, He'll still be, because He is the great I Am. He's wonderful. I want to tell you something. The birth of our Lord, there's good news surrounding His birth. It causes me to rejoice. The angels, the heavens, they rejoice. It ought to cause you and I to rejoice as children of God. It's good news. It's good news. I remember, and then I'm going to ask you to come to this altar. I remember being at Fort Bragg, being in the Army. We, March 23rd, 1994, we had been part of just a terrible accident that had happened. 23 of our fellow soldiers had just been killed almost in an instant, just right around us. Terrible day. We show up back at our barracks area after it was all over, after everybody was medevaced out and Humvees, helicopters, everything, hauling people off. I remember later in that afternoon, some way or another, we all met some of our platoon buddies out in this common area. One of them had a black garbage bag in his hands. And he took that black garbage bag as we gathered around, and it was the uniform of a friend of ours by the name of Tony Wolf. And in this accident, these two airplanes crashed. I guess a 30-millimeter round off an F-16 aircraft had exploded, and it went off in the crash. It made this round explode, but it cut my friend's leg off right at the knee. And so in this bag was that uniform, Wolf's uniform. Friend of ours, he took that bag. We didn't know what was in it, but on that sidewalk, he opened it up and he dumped it out. And when he dumped it out, I just remember it was so bloody. Blood come out with it, laying on the sidewalk right there in that little common area. The uniform was just tattered and shredded. And Wolf had been medevaced off to a neighboring hospital there in that area. And I remember we just stood there, looked at it. Nobody said a word. We knew he was going to survive, but it was still quite a shock for us to look at. And as we were looking at it, there were neighboring units who had not been part of this, all around this area, huge military installation. And these guys were coming, these troops were coming by, carrying out their affairs of day-to-day life. And they were telling jokes and laughing and walking by and going here and there, carrying out their business. And I remember thinking in my mind, that's the blood of my friend. you have some reverence and some respect when you're walking around this. I don't want to hear any laughing. I don't want to hear any cutting up. That's the blood of my friend laying on that ground. And I thought often about that. And he survived. He's good today. In fact, he actually received a prosthetic device and re-upped in the Army. They let him re-enlist. He served another enlistment with a prosthetic device on his leg. But I want you to understand something. There's blood on an old cross. That's the blood of our friend. He said he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That's what he said. So I just want you to know tonight, if you need some good news and you need a friend, you're going to find a friend in Jesus. He was born, we read about it tonight, lived a sinless life, died a sacrificial death for me and for you. That's the blood of our friend Jesus. Then he rose again. We've got a friend. You've got a friend. And so tonight, if you're here and you've got a petition that you've, everything's good, but you got a petition that's not yet been answered, I think there's somebody pregnant tonight, pregnant with an answer to prayer. That answer's coming. You need pardon, that blood. Forgive yourself. Forgive others. Have Christ forgive you. Maybe you've never been saved. I don't know. You come find me in just a moment. Tell me that you need to be saved now. Or you just need a promise. God's already give you one. You're hanging on to it. But what you see doesn't match up with what God give you. You keep looking to what God give you. That's how you live by faith. No matter what you see, if God give it to you, hang, come back and claim it again. Come claim it again. Or you need a promise because, preacher, I'm barely hanging on. I need something from God, something from heaven. He'll give it to you. He's good for it. It'll happen just like he says. You need to come. Girls, sing if you have something to sing. If you've got something to sing, sing. If you don't, just play. But stand. I believe the Lord's moving already. Make your way.